This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So 2 weeks ago, we told you that there was the first person to receive a genetically modified pig kidney transplant, had done pretty well after the operation. And one of you asked, do we have any follow-up? It turns out he's alive, has been discharged from the hospital. So far, so good. Keeping our fingers crossed. Rick Slayman, 62 years old, had end-stage kidney disease. He received the life-saving transplant donated by a pig on March 16th. Now, the pig kidney, don't just find a pig and, you know, cuddle up to them and ask them to give the kidney. That pig kidney needs some work done on it first. So it was genetically edited to make it more compatible with a human recipient and to eliminate the risk of infection and, of course, rejection. According to Fox News, Slayman said in a statement this moment, leaving the hospital today with one of the cleanest bills of health I've had in a long time, is one I wish would come for many years. Now it's a reality that one of my happiest moments of my life. Now I am praying that this holds. Now he is thanking everyone at Massachusetts General Hospital. He honored Dr. Williams, Dr. Riella, Dr. Kawhi, as well as the nurses who look after him. Beautiful statement that he gave. I am hoping that this kidney can function. Thus far, initial tests show that it is doing the work that his other kidney didn't and keeping him from dialysis. Now, he received his first kidney transplant from a human donor in 2017, but the organ began failing on May 2023. So it lasted a good few years, but then he had to go on dialysis. And so we're hoping that this could last longer because it was able to be genetically modified to hopefully something that he would not reject hopefully it would not get infected or anything happen to it to change its function and diminish its function. So this is a historic milestone. We call it xenotransplantation, which is when you transplant organs across species. And we have a global organ shortage. Many individuals do not donate their organs. Why not? Well, for some of our religions, we can't. You know, we're supposed to be buried whole so that, you know, when the Messiah comes or the Messiah comes again, we're able to rise and be whole. Not exactly sure. It's hard. You know, I mean, I love religion and I honor my religion. It's just from a scientific standpoint, I've seen bodies decay. Not exactly sure how that's going to look and how that's going to work. But it's, yeah, miracles happen. Other issues are many individuals do not trust the whole process of being an organ donor. Some individuals feel that if you are an organ donor and the hospital knows about it, they are going to be quicker to call it so they could use your organs. That does not happen. I'm telling you right now, that does not happen. But some people fear that that could happen when there's such a high demand. Now, and you're kind of, you know, well, what's your prognosis? I'm telling you right now, you know, unless you are, you know, clinically dead, you know, or no chance of survival and being kept alive on machines, by machines, that doesn't happen. But I understand some people have that concern. You know, others, they just want to have their body untouched after they leave. And so you have to, I think some countries default to you're an organ donor, but in America, No, you have to actively say you want to be an organ donor. And the other problem we have leading to the shortage is just because you have an organ doesn't mean it's usable. I mean, it has to be given to the person at the right place at the right time. You know, let's say I was an organ donor and I have no problem giving up a kidney. And there is a child that needs a kidney today. Okay, well, I mean, I would have to either donate it while I'm living and give up my kidney and would have to go through the match process. And then what if I'm not a match? So it's complicated. If we can figure out a way to safely utilize other species organs, because we're not at the point where we can make the organ. Yeah, we might be able to use these 3D printers to make ears and structural stuff, but in terms of functional, it's a little tricky. We're being told that over 100,000 people in the U.S. are currently on waiting lists for organ transplants. 17 are dying every day. That's according to the United Network of Organ Sharing. And another thing, one of you had told me years ago when we spoke about this, where, you know, if the average person doesn't necessarily do well with the organ, you know, you're giving up a lot. And that's if you're a living donor. We spoke about that. I have a extended family member who got a new liver. Thank God. Here he is 2.5 years later, still alive, doing well with that new liver. So I am very, very grateful. Very, very grateful for those who are organ donors. And we are just, we're in need. At Massachusetts General, there are 1,400 patients currently on a waiting list for kidneys. Kidneys are one of the most commonly needed organs. End-stage kidney disease is rising because of our obesity, because of our anti-inflammatory use, because of our high blood pressure rates, and most notably, our diabetes. The first human organ transplant that was performed in Massachusetts. Was MGH at Brigham and Women's Hospital in 1954. So we'll keep you posted on this. Hopefully, I have high hopes. I have high hopes. Unfortunately, we've seen what's happened with pig hearts and pig valves and how the body may eventually not tolerate it. But I'm hoping this holds. 1-877-DOCDOLLY. Here. Are you tired, gaining weight, burned out, stressed out? Well, how's your dopamine doing? Not sure? Then check out our book, Deploying Dopamine. How you feel right now, how you will feel an hour from now, how you will feel next week is completely reliant on our dopamine. Christian Kalikas and I created Deploying Dopamine, a book that tells you what dopamine is, when it dysfunctions, and how to successfully deploy dopamine when needed. So find Deploying Dopamine on Amazon or drdahlia.com today.
Addictions can sneak up on us and come in many forms, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, video games, porn, or something less obvious such as food, internet, or shopping. Addiction can seem innocent at first and then evolve into an insurmountable evil. In our book, Addiction Basics, Caitlin Kalikas and I dive into the common addictions and provide tips for identifying and preventing these before they sneak in and take over our lives. Addiction Basics can be found on Amazon or on my website, drdahlia.com. Check it out.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason, our producer, and big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on X or Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So parents never want to be accused of child abuse when they don't. Now, child abuse can happen in a variety of forms, and sadly, we've seen multiple cases of kids being abused and assaulted and unfed and neglected. But when it comes to medical treatment, there's a lot of parents that aren't really sure about where and when the distinction is made. So you could be accused of child abuse if you don't get your child the medical treatment they need. Medical abuse, medical neglect. But you could also be accused of child abuse if you overdo it. If you over have your child medically addressed. And so that scares parents. Nobody wants to lose their child, especially if they're trying to help their child out. Well, there's an interesting case. A Renton, Washington woman is now suing the hospital to clear her name when she was accused by Seattle Children's Hospital of quote-unquote medical abuse. The false claims, she says, resulted in her losing custody of her child. She has spent millions fighting in court. Now, according to Fox 13, she says she's received death threats as her story spread online. She's been called a liar, etc. But she adopted a child who at the time was 6 years old and needed 500 medical appointments. Why did this child need 500 medical appointments? Well, according to the mother, the child was diagnosed with alternating hemiplegia of childhood. They lose muscle tone. They have issues not only physically and mentally, and it alternates in terms of muscle groups, in terms of them being able to walk, function. But according to several doctors at Seattle Children's Hospital, it wasn't that the mom was a worrywart. It's that she was a child abuser. And that the doctor said the daughter never needed all the medical care that the mom was requesting. In 2021, Hartman was charged with assault of a child in the second degree and attempted assault for accusations of giving her adopted six-year-old daughter unnecessary medical treatment. Now, officials with the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office told Fox 13 Seattle that the evidence was not there for a felony case. The charges were dropped down to district court, and then district court dismissed the case. So now Hartman is suing the employees of the Department of Children, Youth, and Families who took her child away, Renton Police Department, the Washington Court Appointed Special Advocate Association, and Seattle Children's. So the suit states that the child's condition, this alternating hemiplegia, is very real. It's a rare disease. You get these recurrent attacks of loss of muscle tone, hypermobility of one side of the body, and that the case was already diagnosed by somebody at Duke prior to them going to Seattle Children's Hospital. So the lawsuit alleges that the doctors at Seattle Children's didn't agree. And the lawsuit alleges that they colluded to say it was abuse. So Seattle Children's Hospital has responded. We're going to talk about this. Seattle Children's takes responsibility to protect the health and safety of our patients seriously, but we cannot comment on the specific case due to pending litigation. So we're not going to get a lot on that. Same thing with Renton Police Department. So what do you do? I mean, most of you guys are not the doctors or hospital administrators. You're the mom. You're the dad. You're the parent. What do you do? You don't want to get accused of child abuse and child neglect. Look at how the whole COVID vaccine almost went there. In fact, I don't know if there's still some laws in California or some precedent set where if you don't vaccinate your child for COVID, you could lose custody. I think most of those are going away. In fact, I think there's a chance Governor Newsom vetoed a bill that went through for that. I have to double check. But if you're a parent and you're worried about your child getting a vaccine, could you lose your child? Could you lose custody of your child? And if a child is sick and you don't seek care, or you try to do alternative methods and the child gets worse, can you lose your child? Can you be accused of child abuse? If your child gets sick and you keep calling up a telemedicine company saying they need more antibiotics, they need more antibiotics, they need more antibiotics, and the child doesn't need antibiotics, can you be accused of abuse? So what do you do as a parent? Well, many of these cases were minimized when you actually had a regular doctor or nurse or PA that took care of you, your family physician or family provider, your pediatrician. A problem we have right now, so how it used to be, which was exhausting, is you went through me first, okay? Unless it was a dire emergency. If your kid or somebody needed anything, I had an answering service, I took call, I would answer the phone middle of the night. My babies would be woken up as a result, but you'd run it by me. And I'm like, yes, I agree. You do have to go to the hospital. Yeah, I know you didn't think it was an emergency, but yes, get to the hospital. Or I'll see you first thing in the morning. If you can make it another 3 hours, I'm already up. I'll probably get there early now. And I'll see you first thing in the morning. That used to be your relationship with your doctor. After Obamacare, you notice a change. People stopped taking call. Patients people, doctors didn't know who you were. You'd come in, they wouldn't know your name. They wouldn't remember you. They wouldn't know, remember your family. And then, because you didn't really connect with that doctor, or because that doctor sent you a bill because you had a deductible and the insurance didn't pay and you didn't pay the doctor because you couldn't, it was a recession, you got fired from that doctor's office, so you went to another doctor and you went to another doctor. Then telemedicine came. And with telemedicine, you haven't seen a regular doctor in years and you get a new person every time you pick up the phone. So what happens when you have a chronic condition? Who knows you? Who's going to say, I got you? You know, when I would need a person to go to the hospital, if it wasn't, you know, necessarily, you know, like a stroke or something where we need to call 911, I would call the ER and say, hi, it's Dr. Wax. There's going to be a person coming to your ER and we think this is what's going on. I just want to let you know and be aware that's what's coming to you. We used to do these courtesy calls all the time. Why? Because we knew. So, and I'm not saying she didn't have a regular doctor, but a lot of this could be eliminated by having that point person. It's just now that a lot of doctors are hired by companies and many of them don't have call. It's just go to the ER, don't bug us. You don't really have that point person anymore. And so you're walking in, say my kid is sick, and it's a new doctor every time. They look back at the other visits and they try to make sense of it all. And it's not, to me, the best way to do medicine. But that's where we are right now. The majority of you do not have a regular medical provider. And it's sad. Because there's tons of family doctors. I train them. I mean, we have tons of family physicians and internists and pediatricians. And many of you do not see the same doctor. Not your fault. The doctor quit. The doctor retired. The doctor didn't reopen their clinic after COVID because they couldn't get staff to come back. Not your fault. But that's where we are right now. But there are tons of primary care providers out there that are looking for patients. And if you have a chronic issue, you definitely want to make sure you get that point person. Then what do you do if your doctor won't listen? If you think your child has a bacterial infection and they need antibiotics because they always feel better on antibiotics and the doctor doesn't want to give you the antibiotics, again, work with the provider. Okay, understand where the provider is coming from. The provider isn't allowed to give multiple antibiotics to a child that doesn't perceivably need them. All right? Ask the doctor and say, look, my child always feels better with antibiotics, and we're assuming there's some sort of bacteria, even though we understand antibiotics may make people feel better anyway. If she's negative for strep or pneumonia or UTI, you know, I want to know what she's sick with. What does she have? You know, is this a, I mean, is it COVID? Is it long COVID? Should we have an infectious disease expert? Sometimes a referral to a specialist can help because they understand that at some point you've exhausted primary care and that you need to know what is going on. And so, and then sometimes that specialist will take point and he'll quarterback it for you. But if at all you feel like your needs aren't being met, you know, definitely get a second opinion. Keep all documentation and say, look, I understand you don't want people asking for certain medications. You know, I want to let you know this is what this doctor gave me. You know, but do we have patients out there that just want to throw medicine at their kid or have their kid get the medication for them because they don't have insurance or their kid does? Yes. So, of course, doctors are on alert for that sort of behavior. 1-877-DOCTOR-DOLLY. Don't go away.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. More than 400,000 homes and businesses in Maine and New Hampshire without power early this morning after a nor'easter brought more than a foot of snow and strong winds to parts of the Northeast. That storm knocking down trees and power lines. Although the heaviest snow has ended, several more inches of snow are expected across Maine and New Hampshire. President Joe Biden talked by phone to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about the war in Gaza and unacceptable loss of life. Biden warning Israel needs to take steps to address the crisis or face consequences, especially after the death of seven World Central Kitchen aid workers. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
The president made it very clear to Prime Minister Netanyahu that there's going to need to be some changes.
This is USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Doc Dali, 1-877-DOCDALI. So we have a little bit of breaking news. There is a state of emergency that has been declared in a Russian city due to nuclear contamination. Now, Russia has a track record of not managing their nuclear reactors pretty well, as we saw with Chernobyl. And we don't have a lot of details. Authorities are saying now there is no threat to life following the leak, which, again, I don't know how we take that. But the Russian authorities has not necessarily explained what is causing the alert. Apparently, this comes from the Khabarovsk specialized plant called Radon. They say a mystery radiation source was today removed and placed in a protective container and transported to a radioactive waste storage facility. But a state of emergency is going to remain for the next 3 days. This is an industrial district of the city. Now, according to Daily Mail, it appears that it took authorities to act about 7 days until they acted upon this. So I'm not too sure why it took so long. Access to the area in question has been restricted. Specialists are now working to locate the source of the radiation. A man wearing a nuclear protective mask was seen with a radiation reader, and he noticed that it rose quickly over a waste dump. His reader sounded an alarm at 0.45 microsieverts, and the highest reading visible on the screen is 5.99. Yet the man says there was a reading of 20. Now, that obviously would increase cancer risk, damage DNA, fetal damage. We're not really sure why it took them a week. We'll keep you posted, but they say the radiation source was removed, placed in a container, and transported. I mean, I'm sorry. I was in school when Chernobyl happened. April 26, 1986. On that day or night, the number 4 RBMK reactor at the nuclear power plant at Chernobyl, Ukraine, which Russia controlled at the time, lost control during a test at low power. There was a massive explosion and a fire that destroyed the reactor building. It released large amounts of radiation to the atmosphere. 2 workers died in the initial explosion. 28 of the firemen and emergency cleanup workers died within 3 months from acute radiation sickness. 1 died of cardiac arrest. And the entire town of Pripyat had a population of 49,360 who were roughly 3 kilometers from the plant, evacuated 36 hours after the accident. Reports that they had to leave their pets. They were told this is a temporary evacuation. Leave. Just take, you know, a small bag. And the animals were later killed, from what we understand. During the following weeks and months, an additional 67,000 people were evacuated from their homes. 200,000 people believed to be relocated, and we're still not getting a lot of information on what eventually happened. We do know that animals as far away as Europe had elements of radiation in their milk. So we think, you know, something like this, it's not just local. It can, because of winds and wastewater and the groundwater, it can affect swaths of land, acreage, as well as individuals. So acute radiation syndrome, we don't necessarily have a cure. When you get exposed, you might be feeling fine, you might be feeling great, but then you're exposed to high levels of radiation. If you get the syndrome and get sick initially, you'll have nausea, vomiting, headache, diarrhea, and the symptoms could start instantaneously. It could also start days later, several days. And so you may look healthy, you may feel fine. Then the symptoms happen. You can have a remission where you're like, wow, I'm feeling great again. And then another slump. You could have lost appetite, fatigue, fever, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. You eventually can seize, go into a coma, and die. If you don't die, there could be a chance that there was so much damage, DNA damage, that you could get cancer. So, there was a very good miniseries on Chernobyl recently. I mean, there's been tons of, and I forget who was in it, and it was fantastic, really well done. And I urge you guys to use it because it kind of reminds you of how governments cover up, how, you know, everybody tries to point fingers, they're worried about the blame game. And when you're watching it, you're like, China, no wonder China still to this day is denying their role with COVID because they're so afraid of the aftermath, even though we all know what's going on. Well, you know, they might need to also rethink why they're being accused of taking a role in the migrant crisis. There has been rumors that the Chinese are building a bridge in Central America to help fuel the climate crisis. In fact, the structure is big enough to allow for, quote, oh, big enough for a column of tanks and to cross. Why? Are they using Central America to be a, a setting stage for, them to be able to attack America? I don't know. But according to reports, there's a structure being built in Yaviza, which sits on the Rio Chuconaco, a separation point between Central and South America. It's one of the most southerly points reachable by roads from North America. They say until now, the Pan-American Highway, which weaves through Central America toward South America, has ended in Yaviza, which sits on the edge of the 100-mile Darien Gap, which is a dense jungle between Panama and Colombia, which is dangerous, and a lot of people do not want to navigate that to get to America. Millions of migrants have braved it, but are forced to undertake the journey on foot. There's perilous river crossings, wild animals, and violent crime gangs. So they could be extorted, kidnapped, abused, killed. But according to Christian Broadcasting Network, this could change with this construction of the new bridge across the Rio Chuconaco. Now, who is funding it? Well, they believe China. This would make it safer for millions of migrants to travel up from South America. Now, mind you, I don't want anybody having to go through a jungle. And I am definitely a fan of infrastructure, but not if there's some nefarious sort of reasoning behind it and ulterior motive. And so, according to American writer and photographer Michael Yan, they say one possible benefactor is China. Now, you know, China has obviously funded lots of things, and they would definitely have an interest in aiding passage, not only for their migrants or their wolves in sheep's clothing, but, you know, to overwhelm America. I mean, look at how we're almost at the brink of civil war because of what's going on with how we're approaching, how politics is approaching our national security and how divided we are. So, again, I'm no foreign policy expert. You guys might know more about this than I. But now that we have more Chinese migrants, apparently in Panama, they counted 15,000. And it's not really easy to leave China. So I'm not exactly sure how these migrants are getting out and coming our way without getting caught by China, unless China's sending them. I don't know. You know more than I. 1-877-DOCTELLY.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Addictions can sneak up on us and come in many forms, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, video games, porn, or something less obvious such as food, internet, or shopping. Addiction can seem innocent at first and then evolve into an insurmountable evil. In our book, Addiction Basics, Caitlin Kalikas and I dive into the common addictions and provide tips for identifying and preventing these before they sneak in and take over our lives. Addiction Basics can be found on Amazon or on my website, drdahlia.com. Check it out. fantasy football season is coming, but sadly, too many of you are taking the bench while the country takes part in one of the most exciting and lucrative industries out there. Don't know how to play, huh? Well, huddle up and listen. Sports analyst Paul Kalikas and I have written a fantasy football pocket guide for beginners. This book walks you through the basics and shows you how simple and lucrative joining and creating a fantasy football team can be. Read our Fantasy Football Pocket Guide for Beginners found on Amazon or follow the links on Twitter and Facebook. That's Fantasy Football Pocket Guide for Beginners. It's time you get into the action.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason, our producer. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So I've said this before and I'm saying it again. I think all schools need to now start converting to single-use bathrooms, single-use locker rooms, single-use showers. No, it's not easy, but you could have security watching the area where you have all the single stalls with locks so that it might hopefully put an end to the transgender controversy when it comes to bathrooms and when it comes to locker rooms, and also may help with the safety. This Portland 9-year-old girl who was raped in a girl's bathroom by two boys. I don't know if you heard about this case. The family is suing the school district. Pretty scary stuff. The boys had her tell, it was an after school program. And the boys had her tell the teacher that she has to go to the bathroom. So it's, I mean, pretty, I mean, pretty choreographed here in terms of the boys telling her to tell the teacher so the teacher's off radar, going, okay, well, she's going to go to the bathroom, so now I'm going to focus on the students that are here. They follow her to the bathroom, and then they rape her, and they actually threw her into a stall, and they blocked her from leaving the stall and assaulted her. These were other students. The girl was only 9. All right. On the other end, we have transgender students who do not want to go into a bathroom where they could be ridiculed, attacked, assaulted, and they want to go and use the bathroom of their identifying gender. And schools, they don't know what to do. Schools are getting sued if people are getting raped in the bathroom. Students are getting sued if they don't follow the desires of one who's transgender. You have Title IX. That is very confusing in terms of you can't discriminate against somebody based on their gender, but you also have to protect people from being exposed to genitalia and other things that they, yeah, I mean, Title IX, you violate Title IX if somebody gets assaulted in a bathroom. So what do you do? Well, the Supreme Court was supposed to weigh in, and they've decided not to. The U.S. Supreme Court is upholding the ruling of a federal court of appeals about transgender students using bathrooms that align with their gender identity. As a result of the ruling, the law will stay as for transgender students being able to use restrooms that fit their gender identity, even if it doesn't align with their biological anatomy. The Federal Court of Appeals passed the ruling last week when there was a judgment by an Indiana school district. And the school board in the Indiana school district had refused to allow one of their middle school students access to the boys' restroom. The student's family then filed a lawsuit against the school district for an infringement on their child's rights. And so if we're looking at this from the school's perspective, all right, if a school has a biological female that goes into a boy's bathroom and that biological female gets assaulted, right, the school is liable. Even if that child wanted to go into the boy's bathroom, if that child gets assaulted in the boy's bathroom, gets teased, harassed with Title IX, the school is liable. But if the school does not let the child choose which bathroom to go to, they're liable also. And so, you know, having extended family member, you know, members of my family in the LGBTQAI+ community and transgender community, the average transgender individual, if you really see what they're asking for, they are not asking to, you know, upend all, you know, all these rules. They just don't want to be in an area where they're harassed, where they're bullied. I mean, I'm a biological female, cis female. I got to tell you, the girls' bathroom was rough. I hated going into the girls' bathroom. The girls were mean. I didn't like going into the girls' bathroom. Just like a lot of boys don't like going into the boys' room. Well, maybe that's the fix. Maybe we need to get rid of the age-old idea of if you're girls, you go here, if you're boys, you go here, and it's a presumed safe, and you could all go to the bathroom and be naked and shower together, and everything's okay. I mean, that's how things have been done for years, but that is being challenged because somebody who's transgender fears what happens in the bathroom. Well, when we have cisgender and transgender bullying and assault, maybe it's time we just look at the bathrooms and look at the locker rooms. I mean, I think it was Planet Fitness or a couple gyms have been in the news where one gym, somebody was showering and there was a person who identified as female watching her shower, just staring, watching her. Maybe we have to get rid of the idea of open showers. Yeah, because people are faking it. The people who are faking it are hurting those who are transgender. And so if the issue, if we're all fighting about, well, transgender should not be in this bathroom, should not be in this locker room, should not be in this, it should just be, you know, women. And what if there's somebody where you just can't tell and they're, there, if it's a privacy issue, well, then maybe we fix the privacy issue. Transgender children are not asking to go to the girls' room or go to the boys' room. They're asking to not use the room that they have to go to because something is happening to them, or they are going to be ridiculed. If they start to identify and change the way they're dressed or they're clothed or their mannerisms or whatever, they fear what's going to happen when they have to be in their most vulnerable state, undressing or going potty. And so I know it's going to cost a lot of money, but I don't see a fix. When you have these school districts and you can't go here, you can't go here. We can't have a transgender female who's a 16-year-old biological male go and use the kindergarten girls' restroom. The school is liable, and the schools, they don't know what to do. If there's any assault or harassment, that school is liable no matter what. So I foresee it's probably going to have to be, and again, I got this idea years ago when you would go to a bar and the bathrooms were all unisex. And I know people say, well, that's gross. I'd hate to use a boy. Trust me, I've seen girls. I have no problem being in a boys' room. I've seen girls' toilet seats just as bad. And also there's ways to do it now where they have these automatic covers or they got toilet seat covers. But, you know, if we're worried about smoking in the boys' room and we're worried about all these things happening in the boys' in boys' room or girls' rooms, that I think we're done. We're done with the whole boys' room and girls' room. There's your unisex. There's your toilet. You could change there for gym. There's security watching all of these. So they make sure two people are going in at the same time so nobody can be assaulted or attacked. People come out. The doors have to be open. You could see that it's empty and it's clean. Another person go in there. And maybe we just get, because I don't see a fix on what places of what gyms and schools are going to do. With sports, I don't know where we're going to go with that. You know, I think a Massachusetts basketball team now forfeited the game after somebody got hurt. When a transgender player was on the team. I don't know what the fix to that is. I think in Australia, they have mixed teams so that there could be, you know, men, transgender women on a team, and there could be mixed teams. And maybe that's the answer, you know, as opposed to there being a boy team and a girl team. I don't know. But I think the way we're fighting and trying to proceed is not solving anything. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com.
including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.